Father, we worship and we honor you. As we stay in your presence now, just pray for the Spirit of God to come and direct us. I just like everybody just to sit down quietly. Let the organ alone, just continue just to pray quietly. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. This afternoon, as we're going to close the service very shortly, but I'm going to address something. After my message some weeks ago on the home, the church, and the family, somebody, one of the members of the church, sent me something. And as I waited on the Lord now, I feel that God wants me to just address that just before we close. And she said, "Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the message yesterday." This was a few weeks ago. He says, "It's the word for the season." He said, "What about divorce because of domestic violence? I'm grateful if you can address and clarify that." And the reason why I'm taking this is that after the service, another person came to me and asked me exactly the same question. So I was in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And the issue of the home is extremely crucial and important because, like we've said, the home is the unit of the church. And that's why Satan is attacking the institution of marriage. And so these issues need to be very clear in the understanding and the thinking of Christians, particularly Zion, where we're talking about the church going on into perfection. Some of these things that are disturbing the people in the world should actually, like it says in one place, say these things not even be mentioned amongst you. But sadly, many times it is. not because it's the will of God, but because many times ignorance, stubbornness, rebellion, pride, all these things are avenues through which the enemy comes in to try and disrupt God's purpose for the church. So I'm going to just talk about this very briefly for a few minutes before we close. I just waited on the Lord, and the Lord said, do that. Now, turn with me to Malachi. This is where they took that question from, actually. Malachi chapter 2, and look at verse 14. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read from three versions of the Bible. I will first of all read from the King James, then I will read from the Amplified, and then I will read from the Message Bible, so that we can get what the scripture calls the spirit, not just the letter, the spirit of what God is saying. And then after that, we'll go to Matthew chapter 19, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This will give you a holistic, that is a complete picture of God's mind on this subject. Let's start with Malachi chapter 2 verse 14. I'd like you to read after me. Let the organ just continue to play quietly like you're doing. It says, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom you have dealt, or thou hast, this is old English, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy youth. Verse 15. Did not he make one? And yet had he the residue of the spirit? And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, he hateth, that's a very strong word, putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. Now, you know, take it to your spirit there means, you know, take it to yourself. Timothy says, take it to yourself unto the doctrine, you know. Now, let's read this. Give this to me in the Amplified Bible. Let's read it again. Say, yet you ask, why does he reject it? Because the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage. It's very interesting. Do you know God came to your marriage? I don't think a lot of people realize that. God, you may not have given him an invitation, but he came. Praise the Lord. And he was the one who actually, the priests were the one doing the talking, the pastors and whoever. But it was actually the Lord that did the joining. You may not realize that, but it's true. Now, as I take it very seriously, it's a very serious business with God. Because the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage between you and the wife of your youth. Against whom? I didn't hear you. We're all reading the Bible together, folks. Against whom you have dealt treacherously, and to whom you were faithless. Yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant made by your marriage vows. Verse 15. did not God make you and your wife one flesh? Did not one make you and preserve your spirit alive? And why did God make you two one? Because he sought a godly offspring from your union. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, and let no one deal treacherously or be faithless to the wife of his youth. Husband, same thing. This is, it's gender, you know, neutral. It works for husband and wife. Even though the emphasis is on the man, because of the cultural background. You must understand this writing at the time of the Old Testament, where it was very popular for them to put away their wives for every flimsy reason. They just write a bill of divorcement, and get rid of her. And it's very interesting that God keeps emphasizing that word, the wife of your youth. The wife of your youth. It was the habit, and still is, in the African culture here, amongst many, many, even so-called born-again godly people. When the woman gets older, maybe she's not as beautiful as she used to be, and she's not as active because of age and time, having borne many children. Some of these men, without having a self-control, will go and start looking for a younger woman. And then they will now be treacherous against the wife of their youth. Especially those that have money. Because they can afford it, they usually, it was a habit, it was a bad habit, and God hated it. They would put her away, and then go and get younger women, and then they're dealing treacherously. That's why I kept talking about the wife of your youth, the wife of your youth, the wife. That's the cultural, historical background. But this, like I said, is gender neutral. It works both ways, Verse 16, for the Lord, the God of Israel says, I hate divorce. I didn't stop there. And marital separation. No, there's a difference. He doesn't like either of them, because one leads to the other, if it's not quickly arrested. I hate divorce and marital separation. And him who covers his garment, and he put that garment in brackets, his wife. Your wife is your covering. The Yoruba people have a saying, be asho. People are your covering. Let me keep it simple. Praise the Lord. Including your wife. With violence. He covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Now, this is where some people brought this question from. Domestic violence. Like if somebody, hits the wife or beats or batters the wife, the people who do that, they batter, really violent, battering of the woman, and sometimes the other way around. I was reading the papers a few days ago about a woman who used to beat her husband. Poor guy. Can you believe that? Therefore, keep a watch upon your spirit. I like this because the Amplified Bible, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly, I like this, with your marriage mate. You see, this is gender neutral. And it doesn't have to be a woman or a man. A man can be faithless, a woman can be faithless. Before I make my comment, because this person is asking about, domestic violence. They're asking that if the man is violent or the woman is violent, does it give you a right to divorce the person? I'm going to let the Bible answer the question by itself. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Oh, sorry. Go to message. Excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Exactly. Do you know why? This is the message. By the message is a paraphrase. Sometimes it gets the spirit, sometimes it doesn't. But I think this is one of the places where at least it catches quite a significant amount of what God is really saying. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you've broken those vows and broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. Verse 15. God, not you, made marriage. This is very good. Marriage is not a human institution. It's a divine institution. It's not you who made it. It's God who made it. You can't run it by your own rules. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. I like this. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God. That's what. Let me just stop here and make a very important comment. I said this when I was ministering. We do evangelism and bring sinners into the church. That's true. But we are also to be populating the church from our children. Oh, yes. God's original plan when he made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know, if they hadn't sinned, was to fill the earth with a godly seed. The seed was to reproduce after its kind. So, you know, the woman come together, they will produce children. Children will be like their father, have the nature of God. They will produce their own children. Children will have the nature of God, and so on and so forth in perpetuity, you know. And so that was the plan. So guard the spirit of your marriage. I didn't hear you. Within you, don't cheat on your spouse. Again, that could be man or woman. You know, verse 16. I hate divorce. This is plain, simple English. Says the God of Israel, the God of the angel armies. That's the Lord of hosts. That's actually the much more accurate translation. The hosts there mean armies. The armies of angels. God of the angel of armies says, I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So watch yourselves. Don't let your guard down. Don't cheat. You don't get it clearer than that. You know, that's why I wanted the three translations so you can see, you know. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 19. And again, I'm going to read from the three translations. Matthew 19 verses 4 through 9. Matthew 19 verses 4 through 9, and then I'll make my comment and we'll close. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. This was in the New Testament, well, in the transition between the Old and the New Testament. Jesus was here. The New Testament was about to come into he was going to be kicking in about 3 years from that time. But they were in the transition, and he was telling them the mind of God. The preamble to this was they told him, they said, Moses allowed us to divorce. I'm just paraphrasing. And Jesus answered and said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5. And he said, for this cause, I want everybody to participate. Everybody open your mouth. Say, and for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave. Everybody turn to them and say, leave to cleave. If you don't want to cleave, don't leave. Very true. If you don't want to cleave, don't leave. Know what you're getting into before you get into it. Know what you're getting into before you get into it. You don't just see a nice girl on the road and say, oh, she's fine, I'll marry her. It's not like that. This is a covenant. It's a God-made covenant. And God is a part of the covenant. He's the third fold string. A threefold cord is not easily broken. There's a cord between you and your wife, and there's a cord between you and God. There's a cord between her and God. So you've got a triangle. You can't break it. You break one of those cords, the other person in the other triangle is going to deal with it. The guy at the apex of the triangle. I don't know what's an apex of the triangle. God open our eyes. And they twain shall be one flesh. Open your mouth. And they twain, go back, shall be one flesh. Everybody say it with me. And they twain shall be one flesh. Next verse. Wherefore they are no more twain or two. This is old English, but it's good. But one flesh. What therefore, this is what all the pastors say and the priests in every marriage. Therefore, God had joined together. Thank you, mommy. With the wherefore, what therefore? Open your mouth. God had joined together. Let not man put asunder. That should make you afraid. How will I want to put asunder what God joined? So I'm walking against the work of God. I'm spoiling the work of God. God joins something together. Then I now come and put it asunder without consulting God. You know, if anybody can put it asunder, it's the God who put it together. That's the only person that has a right to put it asunder. if he thinks he's nice, he knows how to do that. You live that with him. But it's not, you cannot go and use your own hand to start putting us under what God put together. Who are you? Say, ah, but you don't know what I'm going to. You should have said that before you allowed God to put it asunder, together. Because before God put it together, he took your permission. He didn't force you. He said, Rebecca, will you go with this man? And you are the one with your own mother that said yes. The day you came here, it was not my mouth that said yes. I'm a good microphone and say on Lenuni. Oh Lord, Magic Harinko. Yes, I do. Will you take this one? Yes, I do. Aha. Of your own free will. But once you have said the yes, then it is the God of heaven that joins, and you cannot break it. The only person that can break it is the person that puts it together. And he will tell you under what conditions he can break it. Next verse. Okay, this is 9:42 that I got scripture. No, we're going up to verse 9. Verse 7, yes. And they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Now, bad boys. And he saith unto them, I like this. This is authority talking. This is the person, he said, before Moses was, I am. Yeah. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered, the word suffer means allow, you to put away your wives. But, everybody shout, but! Thank God for the but. From the beginning, it was not so. Turn to your neighbor and say, and it is still not so. Verse 9. And I, authority talking. Yes, Moses said that, but I, who is I? I am that I am. Who is I? The word that was in the beginning. Who is I? The one that made all things, without whom anything made that was made. I think he has a right. Give him a clap offering, somebody. Don't bring your own and Moses' mentality into this. I say unto you, this is the divine standard. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. There's a trap here. It's a trap. Those of you who are lawyers and legally trained, you can see the trap here. If you do divorce, God does not permit any other Christian to marry you. That's why he said, you know, if she's divorced, I'm talking about Christians now. We'll get to unbelievers in a minute. You know, if he's divorced, you know, and he says, as far as God is concerned, anybody who marries her will commit adultery. And anybody, he says, whosoever marrieth her, that which is put away. He says, if that person goes away, whatever they're doing is adultery. And then anybody who marries that person is also committing adultery. So God is trying to isolate them from the body. There's a reason. God's not stupid. God's sharp. God knows that people, for every flimsy reason, oh, she didn't cook the food properly. Oh, you know, he's irritating me. Oh, he did this, I didn't like it. Oh, he didn't wear a nice dress. It's true. If you had left it, divorce would be every day. So God deliberately, and he put the only thing here is fornication. And now we know about AIDS and all of that. that that's the reason, because if a person is sexually promiscuous, he will pick up, he can easily pick up STDs, that's sexually transmitted diseases, from other partners, infect the innocent wife or husband, and can kill the whole family. In order to prevent that, that's why it says accept. And this fornication, like I said the last time, has to be proven. It's proven, it's not suspicion. It's proven, it's unrepentant, and it's continuous. Habitual, let me not continue, habitual. Something the person does, you know. I'll give you an example from the Bible. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her she's going to have Jesus. And Mary agrees, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be unto me." And she conceives. She gets pregnant. Obviously, she goes to tell Joseph, "Well, I'm pregnant." Wow. Poor Joseph. The guy said, "Wow, you are? How did that happen? An angel appeared to me." "Oh yeah." "So I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah. Tell me another one." Don't blame the guy. It's just, you know, oh yeah, I mean, it's just how, I mean, that's how we think, you know. So just, the Bible says, being a just man, I didn't want to make her a public example. Very nice guy. God knew the kind of person he was. That's why God chose him in the first place. He didn't tell his soul. God, turn to your neighbor and say, "God, help us to be discreet. Even if you find out something about your wife or your husband, don't tell anybody. Because God can solve it between the two of you and not his soul here." Just said, I mean, you don't get pregnant without sleeping with somebody. And he was right in the natural thinking. The Bible says, while he thought, he had already made up his mind. He says he was minded to put it away. Just say, "I'm not doing it again." You know, it's okay. Then God, knowing his heart, he appeared to him in a dream. And said, "Don't worry, she's telling you the truth. It's really the angel that appeared to her, and she has a divine conception and is going to bring forth the Son of God. I want you to look after him. Treat him like just your own son." We'll say, "Yes, sir." Now's the end of that. But the point I'm making is this: that was the only reason, because obviously, if she was pregnant, she had committed fornication. So he had a right to put her away. If a woman is pregnant, it's not the husband. Thank God for DNA. Today, you know, thank God for scientific advancement. Today, there's no story. You understand? You can do DNA test. And if it doesn't, it's not. And there is no, there is only one virgin that conceived. There is no other one until the end of the age. So, that's why we got to be careful. Alright, so that's the reason. Now let's quickly look at this in the Amplified and in the other one. I won't go to read everything, we'll just quickly. And he replied, "Have you ever read, you know, that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female?" Next verse. "And because of this, a man leaves his father and the mother is firmly bonded to his wife. They become one flesh and no longer two bodies but one. Verse 6. But God created this organic," I like that, "of the two sexes, so no one should desecrate his art." Thank God for this man. Look at this. "By cutting them apart." Wow. "And they shot back in rebuttal, 'If that's so, why did Moses give us instructions on divorce papers and divorce procedures?' Jesus said, 'Moses provided for divorce as a concession to your hard-heartedness, but it's not a plan, part of God's original plan.'" I like this. This is a message. I'm holding you to the original plan. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, "God's holding you to the original plan. Holding you liable for adultery if you divorce your faithful wife and then marry someone else. I make an exception in cases where the spouse has committed adultery. And so that's it. The last scripture. Now I'll make my comment and we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let the Bible speak for itself. This exercise we're going through is a very, very, very healthy and very important one. It's teaching you how to understand scripture. You cannot just take one isolated scripture. You have to look at scripture in the light of scripture on a particular topic. And then get the holistic. I like the way Paul said. He said, I've given unto you the whole counsel of God. So you can get, yes, this is the mind of God. You can't just take one isolated scripture and build a doctrine on it. Now concerning the things whereof. We can't read the whole thing. Let me just give you the verses I want because of time. 10 to 15, that's all. 10 to 15. And unto the married, Paul is talking to the married people. I command. Then he's very, very definite here. He said, yet not I. He's talking to Christians. This is 1 Corinthians. It's the epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church, to the court that is called, you know, in Corinth, and to all of us. This is to Christians. He's going to talk about unbelievers inside this context in a minute. But this is to Christians. This is our standard. And unto the married, I didn't hear you. I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not. A shout to everybody. The wife departs from her husband. Next verse. But, and if she departs, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. What does God give room for here? He gives room for a temporary separation. So in the case of violence, this is the answer. Getting ahead of myself. There's physical violence. Yes. Go and pray. Talk to God. God, help me change this person. There's not a reason for divorce, but you pray, you talk to God, you know. And sometimes people don't appreciate things until when their well is dry. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. You pray, you talk to God, you counsel, go to the pastor and all of that. But don't get married, though. God can work on the other partner and they can change. And then you'll be reconciled. The only reason for divorce is sexual immorality. And like I said, unrepentant and habitual. Let not the husband put away his wife. Verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Now he's giving his opinion, but God put the whole everything in the Bible. So this one and that one too is the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, is the Lord. If any brother hath a wife, that this is where the unbeliever comes in. In other words, you people, they were married before they became Christians. And watch this. And this is very important. She be pleased to dwell with him. This is a command. Let him not put her away. You see, if an unbeliever has a disposition towards God and say, ah, okay, you're a Christian. Okay, it doesn't matter. You know, I still love you anyway. And, you know, and say, ah, you're going to church? Okay, no problem. You know, and say, oh, okay. You know, it means that that person has a heart disposition that God can work on and bring him into the kingdom. He actually says so here later, you know. And that's why I say, don't put them away if they be pleased to. And it's true on the other way, whether it's a man or a woman. Verse 13. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Hello. This is God's divine standard. Then verse 14. For the unbelieving, this is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. Husband is the word sanctify means set apart. Simply because he's married to a Christian, there's a certain covering he gets
He's set apart from ordinary unbelievers. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else, hoko shalakaramaka. This scripture is wonderful. Were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Do you know that when Christians come together and have children, your children are holy? You know why? Your bloodline has already been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. So when you come together and there's that union and all of that, the thing that is formed, the futures that is formed, has a degree of the divine life inside that the unbeliever doesn't have. Verse 15. Now this is the one for the unbeliever or the disobedient Christian. Because if you look at some of the, we'll look at in a minute, the other translations, you'll see, you know, the disobedient. The word unbelieving and disobedient is actually the same Greek word. It says, but if the unbelieving depart, he said, don't force him to stay. You say, because you're a Christian now, I don't want anyone that wants to go, say, let him go. A brother or a sister is not under bondage. In other words, they are no longer, they're free from that covenant. They're free from, it wasn't even a covenant under God because they didn't do it when they were born again anyway. So they're free, you know. He said, for God has called us to peace. They're not under bondage. They can remarry. They can, you know, because all that happened before they were born again. And so, let me have this in the Amplified first and then in the Message. And then we'll just conclude and close. I'm answering the question. But to the married people, I give charge. Yet not I, but the Lord. The wife is not separate from her husband. Next verse. But if she does separate and divorce him, let her remain single, you know, or else be reconciled to her husband. And I charge the husband also that he shouldn't put away or divorce his wife. Verse 12. To the rest, I declare, not the Lord. For Jesus did not discuss this, that if any brother has a wife, but he's talking by revelation, who does not believe in Christ, and she consents to live with him, he should not leave or divorce her. Next verse. And if a woman has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she should not leave or divorce him. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is set apart. I love this. Separated, withdrawn from the heathen. Contamination. And affiliated with Christian people by union with his consecrated set apart wife. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Ah, this God is a good God. And the unbelieving wife is set apart and separated through union with her consecrated husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean. Unblessed heathen outside the Christian covenant. Give him another clap offering. But as it is, they are prepared for God, pure and clean. This is God's plan, to populate the earth with a godly seed. That's the plan. See it in Malachi. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving partner actually leaves, let him do so. In such cases, the remaining brother or sister is not morally bound. But God has called us to peace. Give me the message. And if you're married, stay married. I didn't hear you. This is the master's command, not mine. Verse 11. If a wife should leave her husband, she must either remain single or else come back and make things right with him. And a husband has no right to get rid of his wife. This is an American writing. For the rest of you, hallelujah, I didn't hear you. You are who are in mixed marriages, Christian married to non-Christian. We have no explicit command from the master. So this is what you must do. If you're a man with a wife who is not a believer, but who still wants to live with you, hold on to her. Next verse. If you're a woman with a husband who is not a believer, but he wants to live on with you, hold on to him. Verse 14. For the unbeliever husband, for the unbelieving husband shares to an extent, I love this, in the holiness of his wife. Isn't God good? And the unbelieving wife is likewise touched by the holiness of her husband. Otherwise, your children will be left out. As it is, they are also included in the spiritual purposes of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. On the other hand, if the unbelieving spouse walks out, You've got to let him go or let her go. You don't have to hold on desperately. Life is. God has called us to make the best of it as peacefully as we can. Okay, so what is the answer? The Bible has spoken for itself, but I will just repeat what has been read and said. The reason, the legitimate, correct reason for Christian divorce is sexual immorality. And like I added a proviso, and I did that deliberately because of God's character and nature. If a person falls into a sexual sin and it is not their repentance, they are honest about it, they're repentant about it, and it's not something that they are doing habitually, and you know, I believe that the person should go to the wife, go to the pastor, get the whole thing reconciled, and if the person is honest, sincere, and all of that, they can put it behind them. I said this the other day when I preached, and I'm going to say it again. Go and do a blood test. Go to the hospital. Make sure you're not infected. Because I know that's the reason why God put this there. And we'll see, once the person is clean, you know, I'm talking about health-wise now, put it behind you and move on. And of course, that kind of thing must never happen again. You know, people say, oh, David in the Old Testament, they did only once. Of course, David had many wives because in the Old Testament, you know, God winked at all of that and he didn't like it anyway. And that's one of the things that got David in trouble anyway. But even, you know, with even all of that, he committed adultery with that lady. He married her later on, you know, but he committed adultery. And look at what it cost David. So it's not something you won't even want to mess with. It's not anything you even want to, you're even entertaining your thoughts. And that is why in a married relationship, God gives us, through Paul again, you know, honey, this is a very interesting girl. You know, this man wasn't married. Who told you experience is the best teacher? No. Revelation is the best teacher. Give the Lord a clap offering. Paul wasn't married. Not married. Counseling married people by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the best teacher. Hallelujah. And you know, this man said, he said, look, if you are together, don't defraud one another. Except when you are fasting and praying, like these 21 days. He said, but after the fasting and prayer, come together again. And he tells you the reason. So that Satan will not tempt you for your incontinence. One of the reasons why some Christians sometimes fall into adultery or fornication or whatever you want to call it, is they are not happy at home. Either the wife denies the husband or the husband denies, and it becomes habitual. In fact, some women use it as a weapon. If you don't do what I like or don't, I have headache, I'm tired, and so on and so forth. I'm not using it as an excuse, but that's why God says you shouldn't do it. And if you're not careful, if the man is not strong spiritually, you know, or the woman, because it can be either way, you know, you can push them into the hands of somebody else where they are finding comfort and solace. It's wrong. But sometimes you are the architect of your own problem. We need to address these issues in church. And that's why, let us listen to the manufacturer's instruction book. You didn't write the Bible. And like I like that Message Bible. Marriage is God's idea, not yours. What do you know about it? Did you start it? The person who started it, who joined you together, said, don't defraud. Because I don't want this girl or this boy to fall into the hands of somebody else. Sex is like food in a sense. You know, in a sense. Not exactly, but it's very similar. It's like food. And, you know, and it goes hand in hand with the emotional. You see, if you're emotionally unhappy, usually it comes out in the sex. The woman is not interested. Women are like that. Women, you know, you have to make them happy emotionally. Otherwise, they will not, you know, have that feeling. Even if they do, they just... You know, so that's why it's a combination of both the emotional and the physical. And that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, forgiveness, communication. You know, like I sent something around recently, you know, please, excuse me, I'm sorry. Those are very, very powerful words, you know, so that there can be flow. And when there's flow, if a man is happy and the woman, if they are happy at home emotionally and they are happy sexually, it's very difficult, yea, almost impossible for them to be easily tempted. I'm talking about people who are committed to Christ, born again Christians who love God. It's very difficult for the enemy to be able to come in along that line. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's almost, if they are happy, if they are emotionally happy, you know, stable and are sexually satisfied at home, it's very difficult. And then of course, if they are committed Christians, they can see the devil a mile off, you know, and you know, avoid, like the Bible says, I've taught this many, many times, both for the married and the unmarried, flee from the appearance of evil. Not even the appearance. I learned this from the man who's just gone home, Billy Graham. I read his book many, many years ago. You know, no, I didn't read his book. I think I just saw him comment. And then I read it from Gordon Lindsay too. And I made it a principle. And I followed it by the mercy and the grace of God all these years. I don't stay alone in the room with a woman, you know. I don't. Except for my wife and my children. I don't. When I travel, 90% of the time, 99, you know, I'm either one of my pastors or my wife. Or a friend, or I have a check and balance. So it's even the physical circumstance for adultery or fornication to happen is not even created. How can it happen? And it's simple wisdom. It's simple wisdom. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. Of course you'll be tempted. You know, but then you'll be able to pray. You'll be able to overcome it. You know, I give testimony some time ago about when I was a young boy, when I was in Imperial College, and there were you guys all over the whole place with girls. It was a Christmas, it was the winter. They brought these girls from Scotland, you know, and they were having a party, and they asked me to come. And it doesn't matter, I was alone in my room. The other guy had gone on holiday, you know, and I could have done anything. You know, I didn't go. I didn't say I'm a strong man of faith. I'm serious. I flee. From there, I knew that if I went into that place, I could easily, you know. And it wasn't because I didn't love God. I just didn't want to put myself inside the situation. I was hearing the music. I was hearing them. You know what I did? I put my headphones on. I listened to Ken Hagin and slept. So, just little practical things you can do. Little practical things, you know. And so, you want to avoid adultery. You want to avoid fornication so it doesn't destroy the marriage and destroy the covenant. Any other thing, if it is necessary to do a temporary separation, do so. Pray! I thought about, you know, the man is a priest, high priest. The woman is a priest. You know, there is nothing, no matter how terrible the situation. Who art thou, O mountain, that stands before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain. And give the thing to God, and God will have mercy in Jesus' name. Mommy, would you like to say anything? Sure. Okay. Let's pray. So that's God's standard, folks. Don't let's change it. You know. Let's stay with God. And that's why, for you who are not yet married, open your eyes. Like they say, shine your eyes. I like that. It really shine. Let it be flooded with light. The spirit of wisdom. Because once you enter, it's not easy to come out. If you can come out at all. It's a covenant break. It can mess your life for the rest of your life. So you don't want to do it. Let's talk to God. Stand to your feet. We'll just pray and close. Say, Father, I confess our sins, so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for putting us into remembrance of your standard for marriage and the home. Thank you because you love us. Your thoughts towards us are thoughts of good and not of evil. You know better what is best for us than we can ever know by ourselves. So we submit ourselves to the whole counsel of God. We submit ourselves to your revealed will in your written word concerning this situation. And we commit ourselves to live by your standard, not by human counsel. No, Lord, we will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We will not sit in the seat of the scornful. We will not sit with the sinner. We will not listen to the counsel of the unbeliever. We will only take the whole counsel of God. Help us to flee all appearances of evil. Help us to keep ourselves pure as Christians. Lord God, sexually pure. Faithful to our partners if we're married. And faithful to you until we get married. Have mercy on us so that we will be part of your big plan to produce a godly seed that will populate the earth, dominate the earth, and cause your kingdom to come and your will to be done in this end time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name.
I want us to also look at our children. And children, I want you to look at yourself. I'm holy. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the children are holy. You're holy. It says you are separated apart from holy. Look at yourself again and say, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm separated apart for a holy use. And this is parents. Look at our children. We look at our children. No matter what that children is doing. No matter what that child is up to. If you are a believer, your child is a covenant child. If you are a believer, your child has hope. If you are a believer, it is above you and I. It is that child is a covenant seed. That child is a sanctified seed. That child is separated apart for holy use. Stop using your mouth. Stop using your words to destroy a holy seed. You have no right to destroy a holy seed. Align with what God has said about that child. Align with what God has said about that child. As long as that child is alive, there is hope. That child is sanctified unto a holy use. That child is sanctified unto a holy use. Children, you are sanctified unto a holy use. You are separated apart for a holy use. God didn't even need the two parents to be born again. God did not need the two parents to be born again. God just needed only one person. And then if you are born again, you are in the majority with God. You are sanctified. You are separated apart for a holy use. Yes, your end is secure because God has said it. So shall it be. Children, your end is secure. Parents, the end of those children are secure. secure in God. Don't let us detach their testimony. Don't let us detach their end. God has secured the end because they are sanctified. They are holy. I don't care how old they are. If they are a child to you, if they are born from you, they are still children. And you can still claim that testimony. You can still claim it because God did not put any age there. He did not put any age there. He said, the believing husband or the believing wife sanctified the seed, and their children are holy. And I believe that God is giving us a word. Stop crying. Take the battle to the gates. And claim, let's claim our seed back. Let's realign their destiny and bring these children back to Zion, so we can populate Zion with godly seed. Amen.
Now, Holy Ghost. God, I asked Mommy, anyone said nothing? Then God spoke to her. And I love that. She said that you are in the majority. No, it's a threefold cord. Only one person is on the other side. So you and God, in a court of law, you know, when they do things like that, both the two of you, you and God, are in agreement, it overrides the third partner. Give the Lord a clap offering. Ah, it's powerful. It overrides the third partner. It overrides them. Hallelujah. Claim it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. A long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John, in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm touching you. The Bible says we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm laying hands on you, and I'm a believer. So if you are sick now, recover in Jesus' name. Amen. It's as simple as that. You know, the corporate anointing is stronger than individual anointing. Every sickness is going to flee. Turn to your neighbor and say, sickness, leave this body. I command you in the name of Jesus now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, full of joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory is your portion. Hallelujah.